from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Show on the Fan. Oh, you hit a little frog in my
frog. You get a little choked up when we get a chance to talk to Ken McCusick.
I do. I do. Film Study Baltimore. Ken McCusick. What it do, Ken? What it do?
Looks good, Rob. How about you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I'm doing even better knowing that my boy Kyle Hamilton is back full after missing the last day of practice prior to the Falcons game. Is he looking good right now?
Yeah, looking great. He was all over the field yesterday, making plays, largely coming downhill on some short passes to either side. I'll go through the injury news real quickly because there's several things. Nate Wiggins back practicing. He obviously didn't play the game. Had an interception yesterday. TJ Tampa is off PUP. He'd been on the field for various things. He advanced to position drills. Still not playing 11-on-11 that I saw. Trayvon Mullen was back and played versus the Falcons in the game, and he's back, obviously, in practice. And Adisa Isaac got his first NFL action against the Falcons, but was absent for Monday's practice, which is a bummer. But he had some sort of minor injury, we think minor, that he suffered towards the end of the game when he appeared to get hit in the thigh. And a bunch of people returned on Monday. Russell Gage, Christian Matthew, Chris Board, and Sanusi Kane, both back from concussions, were limited.
Well, I'll grudgingly do this. We'll talk offense for it because I have to. But what did you think of the quarterback play? I mean, Johnson and Johnson. The quarterbacks had great quarterback ratings. They both seem to push the ball down the field really well. But what do you take away from it, though, in a preseason game?
Yeah, there's lots of good. I think both of them played well. Johnson has had a bad habit in two games of leaving the pocket when it's clean. And that's something that really bothers me. But twice in the first game, once more in the second game, to create a pressure on himself effectively. But he's thrown very well. And, you know, 11 for 11, had some big-time throws down the field. Kirkwood had a nice catch on one of his balls, but Wallace made some yards after the catch. But generally speaking, good throws by Johnson. Jones, good to see him in there and playing again after that horrible one snap in the game, and he fumbled the game away. Beautiful ball to Wade, hit him in stride. That play was all Wade, of course, with that incredible paralyzing double move he put on the corner there. But a ball was wonderfully dropped in there. He had other good balls as well. Leary, a little bit of a problem still. Now, last week, if you remember, his ADOT was 1.4, average depth of target.
Yep.
Okay, and that's not enough. You got to throw the ball more than an average of 1.4 yards from the line of scrimmage. It was up to 7.8 this last week, but when you unpack that, he had two throws in the last 24 seconds of the first half that were way out of bounds on the sideline, and that was most of his distance from the line of scrimmage. So yeah. Unfortunately, he's got to be able to push the ball down the field in the field of play. And hopefully make some throws if he's going
to
make the team.
Ken, I hate to do this during your segment, but Ed, what the hell are you doing? It's like a comedian that has his material and somebody comes in and is opening up for him and he steals his material. You're asking an offensive question? It's like I'm over here prepping everything offense. He goes, let me switch it up on you first. You're the defensive guy.
I didn't say switch it up. I said I don't even want to do it.
Oh, man.
Or running backs.
Well, we're going to do defense next segment.
No, that's you're not, because I'm going defense here.
No, you're not.
Hey, real quick, as we start looking at the offensive line and some of the holes to kind of plug there, anything that you're noticing from that? We've seen some guys kind of get beat off the punch there. I think, you know, going back to it, you can speak a little bit more intelligently, breaking down the film, where you look at Voorhees got, yeah, beat up pretty good on a play there. What are you seeing with the offensive line? Any concerns?
Yeah, there's real concerns on the interior of the offensive line. Linderbaum's hurt, obviously, that's its own concern. But the three interior guys, Voorhees played 32 snaps. He's now played 35 pass-blocking snaps in two games, and he's been party to seven pressure events, which is just an incredible amount for that little. Ben Cleveland actually played well at center except for the snap.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you're really looking, is he a capable guard? I think we've got our answer. I think he's probably the best guard on the team right now. So hopefully he'll be playing somewhere in the opener. Falele looks awkward just all the time. and he can't move at all in space. This game, it really showed up because we look at blocks in level two. A basic job description element of playing guard is you're able to move to level two, you're able to climb, and you're able to find somebody to block there. And he climbed three times, and he made zero blocks in level two. He had three other misses there. So that's been a problem. His pass blocking has been okay in terms of the result. It doesn't always look particularly good in terms of its how he actually looks doing it, because he doesn't use his hands as much as I would like. But they may end up starting the season with him at right guard and possibly Cleveland at left, or they may end up the season with Falele out and Cleveland playing at right guard. I'm not sure which, but I'm pretty sure Cleveland will be one of the two guard spots come opening day.
Kim McKusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. By the way, guys, how basic are our quarterbacks? We got a Jones, a Johnson, and a Jackson. It's real basic stuff right there. Again, the wide receivers, what are we really competing for? Are we competing for the number four receiver? And either way, who's standing out?
I think there's four guys who are kind of competing for spots here. And most of this is because Tez Walker might end up starting the season on IR. But Wallace made a real nice catch with some yak. I think his roster spot's absolutely secure. So he'd be the fourth receiver, if you want to think about it that way. Wade has proved a lot of versatility in what he's done. Beautiful move he made to get free on the long touchdown. But he caught short passes in the first game and advanced them with a lot of yak. In the second game, he had a 19.3 ADOT, so he's catching the ball 20 yards down the field and still making 10 yards of yak per play. So that was great. Looks to me like he brings more to the position than Devin Duvernay, but he's a Duvernay or Hardy type replacement. So if something were to happen to Deontay Hardy, I think Dayton Wade would be the guy they would go to as a slot receiver who can also return kicks, give you some gadget ability and some of that space challenging qualities that I think Monken likes in the offense. Then Keith Kirkwood, a vet receiver, he made two nice catches in the first half. Hasn't done anything in recent years. He's had 72 yards on 20 targets the last three seasons combined. Miller has missed a year, and who's the other one? I think Russell Gage has missed a year. Actually, Miller's missed 2 years, I guess. So you got a lot of guys who basically haven't been around the NFL much the last couple of years. And then you had not Randall Cunningham. You had Malik Cunningham show up with two catches on the outside, each of which he followed up with a missed tackle force. That's a really big deal. Guy who likes to move back to the inside, make yardage. I don't know how much that bothers you when you're watching on TV, but a lot of people just start screaming at the TV set when a wide receiver goes out of bounds without being touched. Mm. And Willie Cunningham, just the opposite. He was looking for contact coming back to the inside.
Interesting. He's gone to wide receiver now, left the quarterback position. Yep. Ken McKusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, hold on tight, man. We've got some more questions for you. No air's going to go defense on the other side. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim McCusick joining us. Ed Norris, what you got for?
Well, I think we're going to talk about something important now, like the defense. And particularly, the one thing I want to talk about first and foremost is Trent Simpson. I've liked him since he was drafted. I talked about it. I think he's going to be at least probably better than Patrick Queen. What'd you think of him so far?
Yeah, fantastic showing for him. Really a breakout game. The defense's top star by a mile. The first three drives, he contributed the drive-ending play. So quarterback hit, he flushed the quarterback on the second one and tackled him for what is effectively a sack plus two. It was a run for 2 yards. And then had a pass defense in coverage. That one is probably the most important. He was covering the tight end 13 yards down the field. So fairly deep drop for a inside linebacker to take. He's an ex-safety, knocked the ball down, and that I needed to see that from him. Patrick Queen, obviously, in his first couple of years in particular, even really into his third year, had a lot of coverage problems with the Ravens. And Simpson, that will be what will make him better than Queen if he indeed reaches that level, is he's going to be a better cover guy. So anyway, really exciting.
Well, let's talk about the pass rush a little bit, Ken, because saw some good things from Ajabo over the weekend. What do you see in there with him? Is this a sign to come? And I know you've been one of the guys really big on Oweh making that step forward. It's going to be imperative that those two guys show up in some sort of capacity this season for this pass rush.
Yeah, absolutely. Ajabo had a good game, and this was another breakout in terms of him playing well for the first time, having multiple plays to go with it. Now, I would urge a little bit of caution. I had a great spin move in the game, but it was really a B spin move. It wasn't what I would call an A. He had a little hesitation in the middle of it. And the right tackle, Stuber, who's been kicked around practice squads for 3 years now, has never played an NFL snap. So it's just a little bit of
that preseason thing. Hesitation. We have to talk about it. How good was it actually?
There you go. So, but two good pressures and nice quarterback hit. You always like to see that, unless there's a flag thrown, which there could have been in that case. But anyway, I thought good game from Ajabo. No problems with what he did, and let's see it again.
Yeah, with Kim McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, you've been watching enough preseason football. You know what you're watching. When you look at this team in practice, probably more so than the games, where do you see this team in terms of picking up from a team that went to the AFC Championship game just last year?
Okay, so on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're going to be very good again. Now, they won't have the gaudy numbers that last year's team did, but they don't have to. I think that they're going to have one of the best secondaries in the league. I think they're extremely deep. They're probably better than they were last year. Humphrey's back, playing well. The rest of the secondary is in place, so it'll come down to how many injuries do they suffer that'll reduce the value of what they have there. I think they're every bit as good at linebacker. I think, you know, Queen and Simpson, I'd probably take Simpson slightly to go with Roquan at this point. So I'm happy with that exchange. The starting five from last year on the defensive line played every snap. That won't happen again, and they don't have anybody that's a tier down to step in. So that's a potential area of weakness. And then the outside linebackers are the big difference. So they're not going to get 60 sacks this year. If they got in the high 40s, I think that'd be terrific. It'll have to be mostly scheme-driven, but we're seeing already evidence from Orr that he likes to blitz off the slot. I like seeing that. I think it'll be a high-pressure defense still, and I think it's going to be a fun defense to watch. On the offensive side of the ball, it's all on the offensive line. If they're okay, then the team will be okay. And if they're not, which unfortunately there's good reasons to believe there'll be some significant regression on the offensive line right now, then it'll be a struggle.
That'll be an enormous problem, because all the hype of bringing in Derrick Henry and having the MVP in the same backfield, and then the offensive line sucks, that'll just destroy it with all the hopes I have.
Derrick Henry's had, you know, three tough years in a row with success rate of an average of 46%. The Ravens as a team were at 53% last year. That's all driven by Lamar Jackson and having a good offensive line, which gives them level two opportunities right off the bat. They have to come through, at least to some degree, on that.
Hey, Ken, as far as, like, you know, just going back to the defense here, along the defensive line, you feel comfortable with the group they have there? Because it seems like some of the guys we've seen in years past, you look at what we've seen, obviously, from Brandon Williams going into now with Matt Ibike. Do you like the depth they have along there, and how versatile, in your opinion, are they?
Well, the five they have, the rotational five, I won't call them a starting five, they're outstanding. And they for the first time in Ravens history, they have three guys who can rush the passer together on the defensive line, which means they're not putting they're not putting pressure on the outside linebackers to contribute snaps kicked inside. So what it means is there are three guys who can rush the passer, Jones, Pierce, and Matt Ibike. They always have two of them on the field at the same time, even on passing downs, and that's been very good. And you know, even Urban and Washington pick up a significant portion of the snaps. The group as a whole averaged 44% of snaps last year, which is quite high for defensive linemen in Ravens history. It's a good group, but injuries will determine everything. Pierce has been a guy who'd never gotten through a full season before last year, so you know, there's risk there.
Yeah, Kim McKissick joining us, filmstudybaltimore.com. I want to go back to something you said. You said you think the defense will be very good this year, so you believe in Zach Orr as a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I do. I've been impressed by him. He's good at the podium. There's one thing he did in this last game that I liked and I didn't like, but the Falcons were booting an unbelievable amount in this game. Now, some people use different terminology, so I'll be really clear what I mean. I don't mean they're booting naked and going out to the with quarterback runs to the opposite side of the zone blocking. What I mean is they're rolling out to the opposite side of the zone blocking and throwing to one of three levels. They did that six times in the first half. That play is stopped when the backside edge defender, that guy on the edge of the line of scrimmage on the backside, rushes directly at the quarterback and forces him to get rid of the ball too quick. The Ravens failed to do that on five of six plays in the first half. Six boots in one half. I mean, just an unbelievable number. They had two more, but the one they stopped it with Tavius Robinson. Then the second half, Orr obviously had a talking to them about it, and they stopped it both times, and Atlanta finally stopped trying to boot anymore after that. That kind of thing I like. That's an obvious in-game adjustment that he's making that I think was positive. But I can't even imagine what the discussion was like on the headset between Harbaugh and Orr getting upset about these boots not getting pressured time after time.
Hey, Ken, let me ask you this, and I'm going a little off script here, but with the way the preseason's set up, can we still learn a lot about the team in Game 3, or has it been, in your opinion, kind of adjusted to filling out the bottom of your roster?
It's really deciding who you're going to have on the practice squad, too. I think that's the big issue still in Game 3. There's a couple guys they need to get evaluations on the offensive line. They've been so focused on figuring out who the two guards are. You know, players like Tayshaun Manning and Corey Bullock are sitting there with potential reserve guard spots, possibly even on the 53. But definitely, you got to consider who you keep on the practice squad. Those are guys I'd like to see, for instance, get an evaluation game in the third game, at least an evaluation half.
There he is, Ken McCusick. Ken, tell folks all about Film Study Baltimore.
Well, thanks, Rob. FilmStudyBaltimore.com. If you want a lot of detail on every single fringe player, go out there, read the articles on the offense and defense, or listen to the podcast.
There you go. Ken, thanks a lot, man. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Take it easy.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Bordick will join us. We'll talk about that heartbreaker of a loss last night at Citi Field. That's at 845. But on the other side, we get stupid, Jeremy Carr.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a couple of interesting stories here. How about former NFL player Gosder Charilis? If you haven't heard this, he walked up to an elderly woman on a flight, exposed himself, and emptied his entire bladder on her. He's saying why he did it. I don't know if you're buying into it. We're also going to talk about emotional support animals. There's some really weird ones out there. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Are people taking advantage of this system? Because I do think it's a legit thing. Animals are great for, you know, any type of emotional
support.
We're
going to differ on this.
Okay. But there's a lot of weird people out there doing some strange things. And lastly, we're going to have some fun with a person that developed a rare condition that made them allergic to their own menstrual cycle. We return. World of Stupid next. All right, let's start off with this story first. Woman, I developed a rare condition that made me allergic to my menstrual cycle. That's kind of a rare condition, right? What do you do with that then? You just stop your menstrual cycle? Like, I know you can do that, but a woman was left in agony due to a rare condition that made her allergic to her own period. Georgina Jelly, 28, was fit. That's kind of a cool name. Was fitted with the contraceptive coil in April 2024, and just 3 weeks later started experiencing symptoms of an allergic reaction. She suffered itchy and burning eyes, headaches, and rashes. Her doctor prescribed oral steroids and antihistamines, and the symptoms went away in a few days. But just 3 weeks later, she suffered another allergic reaction, but this time with more severe symptoms. The mom of one was in so much pain, she quickly referred to an eye specialist and even underwent an MRI to determine the case. Her eyes basically swelled shut because of her period.
I'm just curious. Can't they give, like, birth control to stop because then you don't get your period?
Yeah, like, I know the... What is it called? Is it IVF? Like
birth control means you don't get a period? I thought it helps you not...
No, like, I don't know if my wife wants to be talking about it, but once with her... Because she has MS, she had to get one of those long... She hasn't had, like, a period in years. Mm-hmm.
But birth control pills?
She got birth control, but she got that, I don't know what it's called, inserted inside you, then you don't need to keep doing it over. Is it?
IUD?
I said IVF. It's IUD. Yes. Don't give me any letters. I get that you can do that, but we had to do it for a specific reason because she can't get pregnant while she's on her MS medication because you don't know what kind of, you know, what that would do to a child. You're not going to run tests on it to see if it's safe for a baby. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we tried to have kids, she had to come off of it. It's weird. She says, it was shocking to think I'm actually allergic to my own period. And, like, you would think about being allergic to it. It's weird. It affected her eyes, and she developed blisters around her lips.
Wow.
So, kind of a strange story. I do want to get into this because I do think it's really interesting. We'll spend some more time on the service animals here in just a second because I got a lot to talk about with that. This story of Gosder Charilis, former Georgia player, if I remember correctly, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Offensive lineman.
Oh, this story, yeah.
If you guys haven't read it, so apparently his flight got delayed by about 4 hours. He said he likes to take a sleeping aid. Here, let me read his quote first, and then I'll tell you exactly what happened. He said, I'd like to address the media reports about me that surfaced today regarding a situation that occurred on board a flight to Ireland this past weekend. The flight was unexpectedly delayed for about 4 hours, and it did not take off until 12:30 in preparation for the unexpected overnight flight. I took a sleeping medication that I don't normally use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of my character, and I would like to apologize to the passenger and flight crew. The headline reads, he emptied his bladder. Like, to say that you got over there and peed on someone, I think it's implied, but, like, he just kept going. Like, nobody stopped? I guess I don't know what you do. That's a gigantic man,
If a little drop gets on me, somebody's moving.
Yeah.
I'm moving. It's pushing you, doing something. You're not going to have a chance to empty your entire bladder on me.
God, can we isolate that? You're not going to have your chance to empty your entire bladder on me.
No, you're not going to have the chance.
But he's like 6'6", 280.
That's fine.
I can see how that can be intimidating for some people. But you ain't peeing on me.
You ain't peeing on me.
Is there cash involved? Anyway, no, we need to move on. According to the police report, Charilis appeared drunk. He said it was a sleeping pill. Then about an hour into the flight, investigators said he walked up to an elderly woman, exposed himself, and just emptied his bladder for 20 seconds. Are you guys buying the sleeping pill thing? Because I've seen people have weird reactions and do goofy stuff on sleeping pills.
Yeah, I mean, there's this medicine that you take, I forget what it's called, for nausea. It begins with an R.
Zofran.
No, it begins with R.
You got to.
And when I had that first time, probably Robbie wasn't even a year old. I felt like I was going to jump out of my skin. And I'm not sure what I did for about a 20-minute period. So I'm kind of believing, yeah. Okay. And the things that I heard I said during that 20-minute period, I'm like, nah, that's not me. Completely out of character. So I'm believing yes.
It's just such a weird thing. Like, he's never had an incident before. It makes me want to believe him.
Because of that.
Yeah, because it's such a weird thing to go up and just on a plane and just start peeing on somebody. Like, I've seen, they said he seemed drunk.
You think that's weird?
Is it Southwest? Anyway, I do think that's interesting. Let me move on to this story, because there is an actual story with this. There was a tenant who said she had three emotional support parrots, and they said no birds are allowed in the building. She ended up winning $165,000 in a court case.
Really?
After she was kicked out of her apartment complex because of these birds. This was in New York, at a Manhattan building at 230 East 15th Street. Rob, it's probably right down from you right now. Known as the Rutherford, also will be now under a watchful eye, similar to Rikers Island. A federal monitor will now be checking to make sure the board accepts residents' emotional support animals. So here's where I wanted to bring up this story, because I started diving into this, going down like Ed's rabbit hole. Like, what are some of the weird support animals you've seen? Now, have you seen any on the flights? I'll start with you, Ed. Any like ferrets? Like, some people carry smaller things. What have you seen? Peacock?
I've heard about the peacock. I didn't see it. I've seen like reptiles. I've seen cats on leashes. I've seen one lady on one of the flights I took. She had a standard poodle on an airplane. That's not the mini. It's like a 70-pound dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's out of hand. I'm not buying all this. I'm not buying it. I am sorry. I know you can't, because it's like, oh, it's mental illness. You can't. You got to tell me you need a freaking parrot to get through your day? Come on. Stop it.
Somebody's got to repeat what you're saying. What about you, Rob? You see any weird ones?
No, I've never seen a weird one, but I think I need a peacock for my support animal.
That. You're a peacock, Captain. Got to let me fly. That. Yeah, spread your wings, man. Show those feathers.
Outside of a dog, I've seen several dogs as support animals, but outside of that, no.
Well, so I do buy into support animals. I know there's been some stuff with veterans and working with horses. In fact, my wife's aunt up in Pennsylvania, her husband, they do a lot with guys coming back from the military with PTSD and, you know, training them to like get back to normal life. And there's a lot of stuff with support horses and spending time with them and taking care of them that kind of focuses you. And like, I buy into some of that stuff. If anybody has a dog, it's the one person that's happy to see you no matter what when you come home, right? But I got to admit, this other stuff is strange. So let me give you the animals, and you guys can respond to them.
Some people think dogs are strange. I have a friend who thinks having a dog is strange.
Is that a black-white thing?
No, he's not black or white.
Oh.
What color is he?
Yeah. Is he yellow?
Not black or white.
Orange? Purple?
He's Asian.
All right, let me give you these animals and tell me what you think. A kangaroo. What the hell are you going to do with a damn kangaroo on an airplane? Those things, they're deers that get into the gym. That's all they are.
No. Those are deers that have been in prison.
Yeah. I was like, great. He's got a great upper chest. What's he going to hit me with?
I think it's funny that you both said deers.
Yeah,
I deers. Where was this person with the kangaroo?
He did, actually.
Here we go. In fact, 2015, a Wisconsin woman was asked to leave a McDonald's.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, in Beaver Dam when she entered the restaurant with Jimmy, her emotional support kangaroo. So it's not just flights, guys. It's everywhere. I've seen this a ton of times. Bearded dragons. Lizards, where they have like a little leash on them, and carry them around. Like, this is my support animal.
Yeah.
Pigs, I've seen that.
Oh,
turkeys! Don't you dare bring a turkey around me on a plane or whatever. Those things, I don't want to be anywhere near a damn turkey. How about a marmoset? It's a small monkey.
Yeah.
Snakes, peacocks. Yeah, look at that. I'm just.
I hate monkeys.
I hope Rob gets a peacock. Watching him walk to
Rob
work.
Rob is a peacock.
An emotional support duck. By the way, do you know they have corkscrew penises?
What?
Ducks?
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look that up.
Yeah.
Chickens, miniature
horses. That's even better than Edward Scissorhands.
Squirrels? Who the hell has an emotional support squirrel? And man, I guess you got to...
My mom's afraid of squirrels. I found that out a couple weeks ago.
Goats, parrots, sugar gliders, an emotional support goldfish. Who is taking a goldfish and a cup on the plane with them?
Yeah, so, I'd like to see the Harris Teeter. Yeah. Bring in a little goldfish in a plastic bag and walk around.
Capuchins, which are another type of monkey. Spiders, hedgehogs. You're bringing a damn hedgehog? Bringing Sonic with you? You better have some damn rings for that thing.
Those things are disgusting.
Sugar gliders, hamsters, ferrets. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, ferrets. Have you ever heard of a sugar glider?
Yeah.
My mom had one, mm-hmm. and they say that people, like, don't understand when you're adopting them or when you're taking them in.
Yeah.
It's basically like, what do you want to call it?
Flying
almost like
squirrel.
A hamster that flies.
Like a flying squirrel.
It glides through the air, and it'll go from one side. They're really like...
Yeah. Like Rocket and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of like that, yeah. So it's interesting. Ferrets, too. Geese, donkeys, llamas, rats, rabbits, guinea pigs, turtles, pigeons.
I mean, there's something. This is how I dated a woman briefly. She had rats running around the house as pets. Running around, not in a cage, running around the house. And another one I was with for a while had two chinchillas.
A coat on those.
And a hedgehog.
Not with two. A hedgehog?
Hedgehog. Yeah.
I don't know. Same time. Look, I love animals. And if you're getting on a plane with a peacock and you tell me that's your emotional support, I don't, like, go drive somewhere.
I'm not buying any of this stuff. Because I know too many people. I have a friend who authorizes. People come to him with all kinds of animals they want as, you know, emotional support animals. That is complete BS, and he won't do it.
So you think all emotional support animals are BS?
I think 95% of them are.
No, man. I don't think that video.
Really? Come on, man. How do people go through that history without walking around with their dog in a supermarket, man? Come on.
I think there's some screwed up people in this world.
Well, then take medicine.
I'm feeling left out. What? Lamar's not on the back of a milk carton, you jackass.
By the way, that nausea medicine is called Reglan.
Reglan?
Yeah, Reglan.
All right.
Just looked it up.
Well, that's your world of stupid. What,
makes me not... Me.
Not feel Reglan?
Not me.
Yeah. You're not you when you haven't had a Snickers, Rob.
Jim Duquette joins us at 9 o'clock to talk some baseball, but on the other side, Burge with a heartbreaker last night, walk-off style. Mike Bordick joins us up next on The Fan. Not bad, Ben. It is time to get serious. Baltimore Orioles got to get serious. This race is very hectic. Birds half game back after last night's walk-off loss. Boston's only seven back of them. Joining us right now, former Baltimore Oriole, now current broadcaster, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He is Mike Bordick. Good morning to you, Bordy.
Morning, Rob. How's it going, man?
Doing well. Now, Mike, you've seen a lot of great pitches in your day, and you've been in broadcasting long enough to see how pitching has changed, the expectations. One thing I admire about Jim Palmer, when he says somebody had a good start, and thinking to myself, deep down in his heart and his mind, he's probably thinking, that sucked. By today's standards, they're good. Last night, Trevor Rogers went 4 2/3 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, gave up a home run, 91 pitches. I don't think it was a horrible start. I don't think it was a good start, but I don't think it was a horrible start. His assessment of it was he thought he had good stuff last night. I guess I got a problem with that assessment. 4 2/3 innings.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the bar isn't getting any higher, I don't think, for starting pitchers. Try to go as far as you can and hopefully you have good command. I will say this. I think last night was the best start he's had as far as how he, you know, used his repertoire. I thought 100%. His changeup was really good. And I will say this, too, and I think the umpire was terrible last night. I mean, he didn't get any calls. He was working the bottom of the zone consistently and really didn't get many calls, which could have potentially changed the outcome and maybe had him go a little bit deeper. So
maybe that's what he did.
maybe. So, yeah, I thought he threw well. He made more competitive pitches. I think the Mets laid off some of those tough ones down at the bottom of the zone, though. But I, like I said, I think, listen, new guy coming over, it's tough when you get traded. You give him a little bit of a grace period to kind of settle in, learn his new coaches, his teammates. And And so I give him a little leeway here in the early going. And like I said, I think last night was his best performance as far as using all of his tools. And hopefully you can get a little bit more out of him. I think there's going to be a, you know, I was talking last night on Baltimore Baseball Tonight about now there's competition, man, because this is it. This is like every game really matters. Every, you know, pitch really matters. Cade Povich coming in over the weekend and pitching lights out, really, arguably his best performance, you know, since getting an opportunity to pitch in the big leagues. Now his name's got to be thrown in there. Like, okay, are we going to keep trying Rogers, or is Cade going to be able to step in? So you got to go with hot hands right now, and I think Brandon Hyde and the organization is really looking for guys to step up. And we saw a couple guys do that in the bullpen last night. Selby was tremendous, and so was Keegan Aiken. So, you know, you take what you can right now. This is a grind, man. There aren't many teams playing great baseball. A lot of up and down happening right now. And the Orioles just got to try to ride this out until they can find some consistency with their pitching.
One thing you said that I completely agree with is that the umpiring was terrible, and there's a lot of it this year. And, yeah. And we saw, you know, Corbin Burnes like lose his mind because what the umpire said to him. My question, I guess, since you can't argue balls and strikes, that's a given. But does it, when you get to a level where the guy's just egregiously bad, does it make sense for the manager or somebody just come out, argue anyway, get thrown out just to bring attention to it? And are they going to fix this? Or are we just going to, because they impact the game. I mean, you can't continue like this.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Now, I know you can't argue balls and strikes. Well, why not? Why can't you let the umpire know
right. That
as a hitter, you saw that as a ball? And I think most of these hitters, this is what they practice their entire life, to master their strike zone. And pitchers try to master the edge of the strike zone. Well, it's really frustrating when you're getting pitches called on you that are, you know, 4 inches off the plate. And they're giving the catcher credit for framing. Bull crap, man. What does an umpire do? Blink his eyes? He doesn't see the ball cross the plate or not cross
right.
the plate? It absolutely drives me crazy. And I think you have a right to argue, man. This is your career. Let the umpire know that you saw it as a strike or a ball, whatever, and then move on. But you got to hold them accountable somehow. You cannot let these guys just, you know, just kind of, it seems like they're ruining a lot of the games
right now.
I mean, so inconsistent with their strike ball calls.
Boy, real quick, Jeremy.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I see, you're talking about framing. If I see a ball, if I'm an umpire, and I see the ball slightly on the outside, and I see the catcher snatching it real quick, I'm calling the ball because I know you're moving. If the ball's on the edge after you move your hand inside, that's obvious it wasn't the ball. It was a strike before. I don't know why the umpire can't see that.
Yeah. It's terrible. And it looks like Little League stuff when the catchers are moving their glove all around like that. Let's go, man. I mean, it looks terrible. Just inconsistent.
Bordy, I told the guys earlier there was a Cubs game last week where the umpire missed 20% of the balls and strikes caught. 20%.
Wow.
One-fifth of every pitch that was thrown, he missed the call. I mean, that's just absurd. And it's not like, and these weren't balls that were just off the plate. I'm talking like 6 to 12 inches off the plate. Just ridiculous. I did want to bring up, you brought up Selby there real quick. Thought he looked good last night. A really important question about him. Is his beard better than mine, Bordy?
Ooh, you know what? You know, I have a little bit of a beard myself, so I kind of consider myself a, you know, pretty good.
But you're not growing a beard to hide your face. That's what I'm doing.
No. Yeah. You have a master class beard. I will say that. It's well groomed. It's got good shape to it. I think Selby was kind of letting his go. It was just kind of all over the place, just sticking out there, tried to get, you know, it was kind of faded out. I don't know. It was kind of ugly, if you ask me. But hey, it looks.
Look, 3Ks last night.
If that's what you gotta do for intimidation, you know.
If that's all true, how come when I was out with Jeremy yesterday, people put money in his coffee?
Yeah, well, it was empty.
you know what's funny? On the way to the game, Jim Palmer legitimately had a conversation with Selby about his beard.
Did he?
Yes. Yes. And Bordick, you know how it is to get trapped on the bus. On the inside seat with Jim Palmer. You know what
I love
means.
It.
Rob got to ask one question and just enjoyed the ride.
No, yesterday, it was a 40-minute ride from the hotel to the ballpark, and I got Palmered. What that means is I wanted to take a nap. He wanted to talk. I kept saying, ha, hoping he'd say, you know what, forget it. No, that man has perseverance, determination. He's going to have that conversation with me come hell or high water. Boy, it's great to hear you back on air with Baltimore Baseball tonight, man.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I got Palmer. I sat back in the chair. Hey, Rob. You know, he starts that way. He started talking. And I looked up at him. You son of a gun. Like I said hi like five times, hoping he's like, you know what, just forget it.
I didn't
fall for it.
I was telling my wife last night how impressive Palmer is with his callback. Because you could go, hey, do you remember that third game of the season in 1979? And he's like, oh, the Blue Jays? Yeah. Went six innings, gave up eight hits, only one solo.
73 degrees.
Yeah. Wind was blowing out.
That callback is amazing, man.
The lady that kept calling for the peanuts was annoying me, but, you know, he ignored her. Daily Line at 9:30. But on the other side, we're going to keep it baseball. Jim Duquette joins us up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.